Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Monday, March the 2nd. February is behind us. This is year 2015. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. And it sounds like in a lot of places north of Florida, March came in like a lion. So it's supposed to go out like a lamb. Let's hope it does. I've been talking to a lot of people around the country about crazy, crazy weather going on. And so we hold you all that are up in that northern climb in warmth in our hearts and in the sunshine. We've actually got a pretty nice sunny bright blue sky day here in Pompano Beach. It's probably about 75 degrees, and so we're enjoying some sunshine. And a couple of things I'd like to share with you today just to kick the show off. Just an experience and sometimes how guidance comes. On Sunday, we started a series here in Pompano Beach. We're in Pompano Beach, Florida, and so we started yesterday with Sunday service and Why Is This Happening to Me Again? If anybody happens to be in the Pompano Beach area, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 7 to 9:30, we'll be doing a free workshop each evening. We'd be delighted if you'd come and join us. So I was preparing, had done some prep for the service, and in the service, the message was living, not saying the Lord's Prayer, and looking at the idea that what people call the Lord's Prayer is not a prayer at all. You know, if you read the passage where that comes forward, the disciples say, teach us to pray. And, you know, we have difficulty receiving accurate communication. We don't have accurate meanings for words. And most people think prayer means put your order into the cosmic gift catalog. When in fact, in Aramaic, what the word means is to set a trap for God. And God being love, this human energy system is designed to capture and reflect love in the world. That's its design. And just like a TV antenna, if it's oriented properly, captures channel 2, 4, whatever it is, and you get an accurate picture and clean sound. So when they say to Yeshua, teach us to pray, now, you know, if I said to you, teach me to sing, would you sing me a song? Well, no. You'd probably teach me to sing. So you'll notice the disciples didn't say, give us some words to say. They said, teach us how to be a trap for God. Teach us how to capture the active presence of love and reflect it in our world. That's the question that was asked. So, it's interesting. There's a group of people, and oh, I forget now which one, Tania, I believe it is, a South Pacific island, where still today, after World War II's long been over, or ostensibly been over, at least the servicemen have left that that area of the world, people still meet on every February the 15th and hold a ceremony where they honor a particular serviceman who told them, if you will do these things, you know, then you will get the magic result of getting, you know, all these things that we servicemen get. You know, airplanes come in and they drop cars or jeeps to us. They drop radios, they drop food, and, you know, and literally these people, they call them cargo cults, these people are 75 years later still holding ceremonies where they march with wooden rifles and American-looking servicemen's uniforms, expecting that they're going to get this result, not understanding what it takes to produce those things and have them. They think this magic thing happens. And so when people don't understand the meanings of words, they make up stories, such as this group of folks who are still every year celebrating and waiting for their cargo to come in. People are waiting for the cargo that's been promised to them by their religious leaders. If they'll follow these ceremonies and do these things that are absolutely, totally, completely meaningless and irrelevant to what it takes to produce those results. So when they ask Yeshua, teach us to pray, he gives them a set of instructions for how to orient themselves, how to align themselves to bring love into the world, to function as real human beings. So the experience in particular that I wanted to share with you, though, was that yesterday morning, as we were preparing to go, I kind of did a little bit of breathing, a little bit of still point, and I was just asking for guidance if there was anything else that I needed to know to do this presentation yesterday morning. And a bolt of energy shot through me that literally knocked me out, knocked me unconscious. I have no idea what the communication was. I couldn't capture it, couldn't hold on to it. It was just too much for me to comprehend or to hold or to get a hold of. And I'm sharing it just to say that sometimes, you know, when we ask for guidance, we'll get it, and sometimes can be a little difficult to hold on to. And that was my experience yesterday morning. I've been asking ever since to present it to me in a way that I could comprehend it, in a way that I could really make use of the information. But it was just a really interesting experience. And I share it so that if you have that kind of experience, you'll have some sense of what's happening. The other thing that I wanted to share, I got an interesting email from a gentleman who's translating the book Dutch. And he's been working on this translation for a while now. And so I got an email from him a couple days ago. And it so honors the healing process. You know, we've talked in the past that, you know, healing isn't very popular because it isn't Dr. Feelgood. That you're going to go through symptoms on a physical level. You're going to go through old physical symptoms and low energy. On a mental level, healing looks like old negative thoughts and confusion. On an emotional level, it's old negative feelings and depression. And so this gentleman has been working intensely on the book, and so here's the email that he sent me. I just wanted to thank you, Michael, for the most wonderful depression I've been going through. I've read your book 4 times in the past 7 years. But this time with the translating, reading it in English, translating it, reading it again in Dutch, some amazing new healings have occurred. And maybe there's a spiritual readiness in me. I was about 80% complete with the translation 4 months ago. And then, to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, I just didn't care anymore. I've reached such a keen eye and observing state that I started to see thoughts, behaviors, and more in myself and in my perspective of others and the world. I went through a purification, the likes of which I had never felt, and I jumped eagerly in and dropped everything else, come what may. I wanted to let you know I'm slowly resuming the translation. I trust it will come to completion. Thank you so much. Times now when there's a spark, in my eyes that I have never seen before. And I experience a strength I did not consciously know of before. Thank you to you and your great family. Namaste. And I just thought that was a really powerful acknowledgement. You know, here's a gentleman who's building his vitality by focusing on every word in the book and getting it accurately translated into Dutch. And as he's doing it, he's comprehending, building brain cells on a whole new level and moving through some intense healing experiences, which, you know, at one point he says, I just dropped it all. I just didn't care anymore, which, you know, symptoms of healing, old feelings come up. So if there was a time period when you didn't care and you go back and you process out whatever the disintegrative energies are from that time period, then those old feelings of I don't care are going to come up. Anything that's in the system will, that does not belong in your system. And of course, we have a simple determinant for how you decide whether something belongs in your system. Hold a newborn child. If it's like the energy of the newborn, it belongs in your system. If it doesn't belong there. And if there's anything in your system that doesn't belong there, your healing is going to look like undoing those things, embracing those things, moving back through those things. And so we're here to support you. That's what it's all about. And so, Dr. Tim, how are you today, young man? We didn't get to chat with you yesterday. The hour just flew by. And so just thought we'd check in with you first and see how the support group went the night before last. We didn't get that report. Just say hello.
Well, that guidance you got really did knock you out, didn't it?
Oh, it did.
This is Monday.
Monday from Friday, yes. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm doing quite well. We had a wonderful support group. We had a couple people that have never been to a Thursday support group and one person who's never been to any support group. And we watched the 17-minute or 19-minute lecture on the importance of emotional hygiene by Guy Winch, the psychologist, and then we did an hour, the third hour of Why Is This Happening to Me Again, the video, and then we did a worksheet, and we had some very good questions from the video, and we had, as I mentioned, new people, so that the word is spreading slowly that there's another group on Thursdays, and so it's wonderful. I did a worksheet on Thursday about a couple days and prior to that, in the previous week, I had just in the middle of going around through my day, all of a sudden had angry thoughts about my ex-wife, and so I did a worksheet on that and dropped into the awareness that it's not about anger at all, it's about sadness, and did some tapping and worksheets about that. And it was interesting because my mind was showing me that my anger was all about how my wife's choice to get a divorce and split the family up was so traumatic for my sons, and that my anger was that they had been so hurt by this. And when I did the worksheet and canceled my goal for her, I saw my pain and my, let me call it grief for the loss of the fantasy of staying married to one person my whole life the way my parents did and building the same kind of loving family that they did. And so it was a powerful worksheet and a really good example for people that hadn't seen the worksheet process before. And
nice.
So it was very nice.
Cool. Now, Tim, are you watching the new 4-hour video, or are you watching the original?
We're watching the new 4-hour. We're watching the one that needs to be edited.
Yes.
And catching things like at one point in time he's using audience shots from a previous hour, and then when he cuts back to you talking, your voice is out of sync. So with the picture, so I hadn't caught that the first few times I watched it, but.
Well, if you make note of those things, and we've actually got an appointment, we set up to do the second hour on Thursday here. So we're going to be doing that Thursday morning. I believe it's Thursday morning. So good. Awesome.
And we were talking about the same kind of thing on Thursday night that you were reading in this testimonial from the person who's translating the book, that we need to be willing to go through those physical, mental, and emotional symptoms of healing. And what that looks like is the willingness to sit with the pain, the sadness, the fear, the headache, the upset stomach, and not take drugs to suppress it, but actually breathe, do more worksheets, do more letting myself lay myself down and take care of myself to let this energy move out of me. And that was quite an eye-opener for several people. The last couple of times we've talked about it, as so often happens, you can list the physical, mental, and emotional symptoms of healing, but they miss the part about how if that comes up after you've done a big piece of work, you don't run for your drug of choice, you don't run for your prescription drugs, you don't run for your over-the-counter drugs, you do more breath work, more allowance, more eating healthy foods, more drinking clean water, more resting. And
keep doing all of the above, in other words.
Yeah, yeah. And rather than doing anything to numb out the experience. So that's right in line with what you just read.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, probably and you make a really good point that I'd love to reinforce, and that is that probably one of the biggest pieces missing in the healing process in our culture is that we've become such a goal-oriented culture, we've become human beings, do, that we don't give ourselves the space to be and to just be with what's moving in us and to really, truly look at those things and deal with them, and just taking the time, as you say, to lay down, be with yourself and take care of yourself, as opposed to, oh my God, I've got to accomplish this, I've got to go do that, I've got another errand to, like, stop and give yourself the space to heal. It's such a vital thing to do. Very cool. Well, let's check in with Jeannie. I think she may have a caller for us. Jeannie?
Yes, we do. Area code 618, you're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
I'm South Central Illinois.
Is this Gail?
It is.
Well, hey there, young lady. Welcome. Glad to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours as well. I guess we're here to continue the conversation that got started on Friday.
Yes. Yes. How has your weekend gone?
It was good. I know that things got left up in the air on Friday because we only had 3 minutes left. Where I wanted to go with that is that from what I learned from your show and different conversations and other questions that people have called in and asked, when I did see the movie 50 Shades of Grey, I was able to detach from the movie and realize that it wasn't the movie, that thing inside of me. And when I was leaving the movie, I allowed myself to feel all the feelings that I was feeling, and which I learned from you and listening to the show. And also I was able, when I got into my vehicle, was able to go to a place of I want to love truth. I heard your voice and made that commitment. I want to love truth, and I know that this energy and what I'm feeling is less than love. And I wanted to, do whatever worksheets or do whatever exercises I needed to do to get that energy out of my body. And so I wanted to say that.
Awesome.
So, yeah. And then I called you after the show and stuff. I started to do errands, I got the hit that I needed to call you and Jeannie and check in with you and let you know that I was okay. And I did that and talked to you, so thank you for your time. And,
I'm delighted.
And then over the weekend, one of the things that I did learn, too, from listening to the show was that exercise that Richard called in about the pencils going into the third eye and into the crown chakra. And right. I did that, and I released abusers and people that I was in relationships with, that, and I released the movie.
right.
So that was a great exercise to do to get that edge off. And then the other thing that I did, I started worksheets on the movie. I did two based on terror and fear. I mean, terror and anger. And
right.
The goal that I set was for women to be treated in a proactive, positive manner in literature and films. And then I also did, I did one worksheet, my fear, feeling being terror based on the pornography industry. And same goal was for women to be portrayed in a proactive, positive way in literature and films.
Right.
So that's what I've done. And if you could take me even farther with any suggestions or anything that you're feeling, it would be greatly appreciated.
Well, it sounds like you're right on track and applying each and every one of the tools, which is just exactly what we would always suggest, is do all of the above, take every tool you know, and it sounds like you've done that very powerfully. So we continue to hold the space. I find it interesting that, you know, I've never posted anything on Facebook about pornography before, and about an hour before your call, I just happened to decide to post a video on how pornography damages or pins the pathway in the mind for real relationship by creating these pathways of insanity, of you know, unrealistic expectations, and the novelty of a new sexual experience being something that, with especially the internet available today, how especially young men are literally destroying their ability. They're experiencing erectile dysfunction because, you know, no real experience, no real interaction between a man and a woman can live up to that instant gratification that comes, and it's being recognized, the damage that's being done there. And I think we need to let our children know. One of the points that that I'm seeing in the whole, you know, research in aspect of pornography is that they're finding it difficult to find a population who is not engaged in pornography. Our culture has become so saturated with it. And, you know, that movie is pornographic from the word go. You look at, you know, there are many different products out there that they're advertising. I know there are some products I just will not even look at or think about buying because their whole advertising campaigns are simply pornographic images. They're, and pornography being defined as bringing to someone who has no reason to be involved in any kind of sexual thought or experience toward another into that experience involuntarily or voluntarily. And, you know, it's time for us to realize that what happens in our mind is the first order of business for how life moves forward, and our culture teaches us to do things with our minds that are insane, and they portray that as normal behavior, and it's time for us to wake up and realize that it's not. And I think our young men and our young women really need to understand that and understand the damaging effects that even you know, the advertising world with its so-called soft pornography, the damage it's done to the brain, literally. And young people have no idea what they're doing to themselves, as they have usually no idea what they're doing to themselves with alcohol, with pot, with, you know, every drug on the market, the damage that's being done. So I find it interesting that an hour later you called in with this call, and I certainly join you in holding the space for every layer, genetic and otherwise, of sexual abuse that's ever happened in your bloodline, that you become the space that can process that out. And we're here to support you by holding the space of healing that energy. And as both women and men open and hold the space for each other to move through that energy, we create a flow of healing that becomes available to everyone. And to me, that's so urgent to have happen today with the overwhelming volume of insanity that's being perpetrated on the culture.
Understood.
It might be, it might be useful to do a mind shifter. Are you familiar with the mind shifter tool?
I've heard you talk about it. I'm not sure I completely understand that, but I am
okay.
Open.
Okay. Well, here's how the tool works.
Okay.
Take a piece of paper, and you just divide the page in two. And on one side of the page, you write the mind shifter. I'll give you a mind shifter in a minute. And on the opposite side of the page, you write everything that comes up in response to it. Every thought, every feeling, every sensation in your body, every wandering thing that your mind does, whatever happens, you jot that down on the right-hand side of the page. When you run out of things to write, you write the mind shifter again. And you may write the mind shifter once, twice, two, 10 times before another layer of thoughts is triggered into activity. And the idea basically is to do a brain dump, to get resonating whatever's in the file, so to speak, in the mind around whatever the topic of the mind shifter is. And so on the right-hand side of the page, you just dump everything out. And so in this particular case, I would suggest that a mind shifter that goes something like, it's safe and healing for me to embrace every energy of sexual abuse that has ever happened in my bloodline.
Okay. After embrace, what did you say?
Embrace every energy of sexual abuse that has ever happened in my bloodline.
Okay.
So what comes to mind as you write that down? Your phone's going crazy. Your phone doesn't like it.
Is that what's going on?
I don't know. I don't know what the noise is coming from. Jeannie, do you know what that is? Can you mute everything? Strange. I don't know what those noises were, but what was it, Jeannie? Gail, are you still with us? Okay, I've lost connection, I guess. I don't know. Can you hear me, Jeannie? Okay, not sure what's happening, but...
Yeah, I'm still here. I don't know if
okay, I can hear you, Gail. Okay, I'm not sure what happened, but... Okay. So does that make sense as a tool?
It does make sense. And after I do the brain dump and get all this out, do I take any of this information to a worksheet, or is it just...
Yes. That's it exactly. You the mind shifter, you know, because the mind works by resonance, writing the mind shifter will resonate that file in your mind on any form of abuse. And so if there's anything hidden, that hidden information will tend to be amplified in its ability to fire until, bang, it comes through to conscious awareness. You dump it out on the page, and then you go back and, okay, so there's a place where I've got some worksheets to do, and there's a place where there's some fear or some anger or some sadness or some grief or whatever. And so it points me to my work when I do that brain dump. Awesome. Awesome. Well, is there anything else we can do to support you at this moment?
I guess the one question that I have, something that is coming up for me, because I have what you said on Friday was to look at different relationships and stuff. Have you experienced people that might turn on themselves?
Oh, yeah.
Meaning,
absolutely. The hostility can be turned right back on self. And, You know, sadly, in a lot of abusive relationships, the message that's given by the abuser is, well, this is all your fault that this is happening.
Okay.
And the guilt that has been structured into many people's minds allows them to simply take on that message and play it out as though they're the guilty party. And, of course, our idea here is to recognize that we live in an energetic world, and it's just time to process out the energies that don't belong, guilt or otherwise. So, yes, be careful about messages you may have received as a child or that you may have received in early relationships that there was something fundamentally wrong with you and it's your fault that this is happening and you're to blame and you're the guilty party. And that would be more worksheet topics to let loose of anything that that smacks of you being the guilty party.
Okay. Two more questions. One, do we also have a tendency to turn on the people that were supposed to protect us? Meaning, I have a lot of anger towards my mother.
Yes, I see that a lot. If mom wasn't there, didn't know how to protect us, couldn't, wouldn't, or sadly, I've seen cases where mothers have participated in the sexual abuse of a child. And so, yes, there will tend to be a lot of pain around not having been taken care of and not having been protected. And oftentimes the drug that we'll use to anesthetize ourselves from that pain is anger toward that parent. As I work on forgiving my anger, you know, as Dr. Tim said earlier, you know, he started off the worksheet that he did in the support group the other night with a worksheet on anger toward his former. And as he was able to drop the anger, what he could see was that it was sadness over the loss of his dream. And the most common drug on planet Earth, I believe, is anger. Anger is never primary. It's always secondary. It's an internally produced drug. Difficult drug to break free from because, of course, it's free and the supplier's internal. You know, at least the alcoholic can say, I'm not going to the liquor store anymore. But we carry around the source of this drug inside of us, and it's literally an internally produced chemical that anesthetizes us. And so as you do worksheets around the anger and let it go, you'll tend to touch into what the grief, the sadness, pain really is, and that's where the core work happens.
Understood. The next question is, I felt like growing up that I dealt with the childhood sexual abuse, I was able to detach from that. But when I turned 16 and got my first job at a fast food restaurant, I was abused by the manager. And that brought all that up. But I didn't know what it was because I seemed to have protected myself from that. And I went from being an AB student with the plans of going to the University of Illinois because that's a big deal. That's a big school in Illinois to go to. To barely graduating from high school because that trauma attached itself to my ability to learn or being able to sit in school. Is that common as well? I heard, I started listening to Robert Short talking about his faster EFT, and he did talk about that in the first video that I listened to. Can you talk more about that, how that attaches to academia? Is it?
Well, you know, basically, it ties back into the energy that I carry that dulls my senses and my intelligence. The pain that I carry, that, you know, like I read the email from the gentleman who's translating the book into Dutch. He's become hypersensitive to all of these energies moving in him. He's cleaning things up, just moving through things high speed, fast forward. And then all of a sudden, he comes across a layer where he doesn't care. I mean, he literally just lays everything down and says, I don't care about this anymore. Something he was really dedicated to. And that's a stage in the healing process. And so when the child, you know, a 16-year-old who doesn't know anything about what energies are running her mind, and who knows what all of the dynamics are, would take some serious work to look in and clean that up. What would tend to happen is one would tend to move away from things that would reward them and move toward things that would reinforce the abuse. In line with thinking, well, I deserve this. I don't deserve to go to college and get a degree because look at me, look at what's wrong with me. And again, oftentimes in a circumstance where a 16-year-old is taken advantage of by an older man in a business setting, the message that the child is given, that the young person is given is, this is your fault and you deserve this. Which the equivalent of I deserve this abuse is I don't deserve good things in my life. And so some worksheets around that might be very useful. There's a really awesome book. Go ahead.
That is something when I do have done worksheets theme of I do not deserve.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. So thank you for tying that together.
Yep. And that would be, again, just another reality to be forgiven. You know, and you might do worksheets around the childhood sexual abuser and your feelings of not deserving, which will probably tie into your feelings of fault and blame and guilt, and then the same with the abuse that happened at 16. There's a very powerful book out there, and Jeannie might remember the author's name. It's called The Courage to Heal Workbook.
Okay, I have
excellent.
It. It's by Laura Bass and Ellen somebody.
Yes,
okay,
excellent, excellent book to work with.
Okay.
And these are some of the issues that, and maybe Jeannie, you've got some input here, that Jeannie is working with in the Healing the Whole Woman. Jeannie, do you have anything to share here?
You know, some of the things that I personally found when I started working through some teenage sexual abuse, and I've didn't really look at it until Michael X got me the book that you're talking about right now, Courage to Heal. Because, you know, you kind of can tell yourself, oh, that's been so long ago, and I put it behind me, and, you know, I'm never going to see the guy again. And you can give yourself all of these excuses to not look at it. But what happens when the original event occurred? For me, you know, you've heard of flight or fight. There's also a freeze. And for me, when I was abused, I froze. And
right, I did.
In a way, it's kind of like, you know, you kind of remove yourself out of your body so that you can be able to withstand what's going on. And it's a way of like anesthetizing yourself so that you don't have to feel the physical pain. And so that is, it's like, you know, we talk about file folders. And so the event happens and it's attached to, well, when this happens, what I need to do is remove myself from my body so that I can deal with this. I need to freeze so that my body's like anesthetized. It's numb so that I can deal with the pain. And it's checking out so that you can handle it. Well, then when anything happens later in your life, and the way that we discovered this was we might be sitting at a restaurant eating, and Mike would just, you know, out of the blue say a penny for your thoughts, because it was like I had just checked out and gone somewhere. And I'd look at him and it'd be like, I didn't have any thoughts. There was, you know, it was just like I left my body and disappeared for some reason. And so then what we started doing is whenever he would see that I did that, is to stop and say, okay, what just happened in the room? You know, did the lights change? Did a certain music just come on? Did a certain person just walk by? Because what happens is those file folders are linked. And then when any of them are triggered, whether it's a physical, you know, somebody attacks physically or grabs you physically or touches you physically, and that triggers that memory, Or it could just be somebody walking past you, or the lights changing a certain way, or a certain song coming on, or whatever. Anytime any of those linked files gets triggered, then the sort of like PTSD.
Yeah.
Those other things come forward too because they're attached, they're linked. And until you can get whatever it is to the cognitive part of your brain so that you can look at it and change it, then forever they're going to trigger each other, and it's going to come forward, and you're not going to have control over it. And the worksheet is the best way I have seen to bring that forward so that you can look at it and change it. And so being aware of the times when I would check out or freeze or go blank or whatever was a good starting point for me to start looking at it and saying, okay, I can deal with this. You know, I can look at it and change things. Because as long as we hold that, we're going to draw to us situations. It's going to bring it up because it needs to be healed.
Understood.
And I've also seen that that's where I have a lot of bad dreams. And that's where those come from, too. It's because we've shut that back, suppressed it, cut it off, pretend, you know, oh, it's been 40 years ago. It doesn't matter. But in the when you're asleep, it's like you're, and Michael, you can probably talk to that a little better, but it's like you're, the veil is more open so that those things that we have shoved down and don't want to look at, they can come forward easier at night. So that's why I would have a lot of bad dreams, is because I was more open for that to come forward during the night. So I also started doing work around my dreams as well.
Gotcha. I have a dream journal, and yeah, I try to, you know, keep in touch with what's coming up. So
good work. Dreams are a good work machine, worksheet material too.
Awesome. So you might want to look at, you know, Jeannie's going to be doing a Healing the Whole Woman intensive April 17th at in Orlando here in Florida, and then doing one this summer at Heartland, an 8-day. It'll be a 9-day in Orlando, and then an 8-day at Heartland this summer. So if you're needing some additional support, that might be something to look at putting into your calendar.
Yeah, most definitely have them looking at that for sure.
Awesome. And let's see if Dr. Tim has any input for you. Tim? Anything to share?
Well, I would like to just echo what Jeannie just said and what you said, Michael, and congratulate our caller on her willingness to do this work, because that's the only thing I've ever seen that gets people through it, is the absolute willingness to take 100% responsibility for what they're feeling now. You don't have to take responsibility for what happened to you in the past, but if it's affecting you today, you have the ability to change it. And if you have introduction to tools like this, the worksheet process, the mind shifter, deep breathing, connected breath, the tapping we've talked about, if you have access to tools and the willingness to use it and take responsibility for it, there's your liberty. You are now at liberty to change your life in the moment. And there are wonderful books out there. The one you mentioned is a really good one. Babette Rothschild wrote The Body Remembers, which is a wonderful book about how all of the physical memories, our body contains physical memories of everything that's happened to us, and she talks about how to stay tuned into that. And catching the early signs of being triggered, and then using safe images and reorienting yourself to the current time. Peter Levine has done some wonderful work. He wrote a book, Awaking the Tiger, about, and it's a series of exercises for getting a person who's been through physical or sexual abuse back in touch, consciously aware in touch with their body and their physical sensations and the feedback mechanisms which they have so diligently disconnected from. And he has another book called Freedom from Pain with Maggie Phillips, where he's just expanded that set of tools. So there's a lot of good resources out there, and I would just say pick whatever resonates best with you. and congratulations for being willing to do the work.
Okay. For sure, and we much appreciate you calling in to bring it forward and to open that conversation for the whole community. Awesome.
Thank you. I am complete, and thank you for your time, and thank you for the tools, and thank you for everything. So,
okay, keep us posted. We appreciate you. Blessings.
Absolutely.
All righty. So, Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room or anybody else with a hand up in the phone queue?
Everybody in the chat room today is guests, and so I've just said hi to them, and of course they can't answer back to me, but so there's no conversation going on in the chat room, and nobody has their hand up on the switchboard, so if someone presses one, you're first in line without waiting.
And our calling number, if you're on one of those stations that we don't have access to, is 646-200-4169. We'd love to hear your voice, and if you are on the phone in the phone queue now, if you just push one,
we had two hands just go up.
Awesome. Let's say hello.
Okay, so the first one is area code 336. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Paula Davis in Greensboro. How are you?
Well, hey there, young lady. Welcome. We are well.
Hi. I'm glad. I couldn't hear the name of the book, and I think you said it twice. To the young lady.
Courage to Heal?
Oh, okay, that's the whole thing. I couldn't hear. Who wrote that?
It's Laura, I believe it's Laura Davis and Ellen Bass. I'm bringing it up right now, so I'll tell you here in half a second.
Okay.
And they have, yes, it's Ellen, E-L-L-E-N, B-A-S-S, and Laura, A-U-R-A, Davis, D-A-V-I-S, The Courage to Heal. She has a regular book, and then she has a workbook. And the workbook's really good because, you know, you read what they're talking about, and then they actually have an exercise for you to go through. And going through the exercises is very powerful.
Okay, so you recommend I get both.
All I had was the workbook. And
okay.
So I would suggest if you're only going to get one of them, to get the workbook.
Okay, good. Thank you. That's what I was looking for, some advice. Great. Thank you.
It's powerful. Right.
Thank
powerful
you.
Work.
Okay, our next caller is area code 541. You're on the air. Is this Julie? Oh, she just disappeared. So, but there she is, 541. You're on the air.
Is this Miss Julie from Ashland, Oregon? Hello, Julie. How are you?
Oh, there I am. I'm sorry.
There
I have the mute. I'm really resisting.
Breathe, stay with us.
I was
going
to just hang up.
Well, stay with us. Stay with us. We're here to hold the space. You're safe.
Okay.
You're safe and you're supported, and it's okay to let everything open that needs to open.
Well, I just didn't realize that old stuff could come up like it can. And
yes.
And I know it's good. I wish I had a friend that lived near me that I could do this work with. I just am not doing it. And, getting worse for me. So I guess I just have to tell the truth about that, and I just feel overwhelmed on all fronts. That's my oldest issue, I know. But what's up? Okay, here it is. When my parents divorced, there was a whole fight over the house, and who's going to get it, and it had to be sold, and there was no home, and I'm recreating that, and I just realized it, that I have a nice home, but I can't afford it, and I've been having roommates, and now there's a vacancy, because nobody took the room for March, and so So I'm in a lot of fear, and I realize it's tied to all my stuff from the divorce. And I just don't think I can go through all that pain again. I just have been resisting it.
Julie,
I mean, I'm seeing how big it all was, that I just somehow dissociated.
So, Julie, there's the operative word, how big it was. And my input to you is that you survived it on the way in, and you will thrive through it on the way out. And remember that these are memories of pain. Memories of pain are not pain. You can mistakenly re-empower it as though it's current and real today. But what you're doing is you're accessing energies from the past, which are built up in you, and as you breathe and use the tools that you know to use, you can simply soften into, embrace those energies in love, and let them move through. They're memories of pain. They are not pain.
Okay, I agree. I get that. But what I'm afraid of is that I am creating now with those energies. Like, I'm creating it all over again, and that's what...
So there's your next worksheet. There's your next worksheet. Is my fear that I'm going to recreate it all. And so I do a worksheet on myself. Is number one C is me. And I'd start out with I, Julie, who am love, have fear that I'm going to recreate my childhood and the trauma from my parents' divorce. And what I want from myself is to create a whole, healthy, happy, easy life. And then I'm going to cancel my goal to create a whole, healthy, easy, happy life. And as I cancel that, I'm going to open that deeper part of all those energies that are memories of pain. And when I remember to breathe through them and let them go, then piece by piece, I can dismantle and remove every memory and be free of it. If I don't do...
That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work to carry it around inside of you and try to keep it hidden and then watch it manifest in your life. That's a lot of work.
I know.
That's really hard.
It is.
It's a hard way to live. But the thing about living out of not doing your work is it's a hard way to live because the results we produce do come from that hidden part of our minds, but it's an effortless way to live because that stuff happens automatically. Sometimes we confuse effort
with hard. Wait, that cut out, Michael. That cut out.
Okay.
For me, it did.
All right. Sometimes we confuse effort with it being hard. So here would be my input. It will take effort for you to go inside and dismantle these things, and your life will become easier with each piece of work that you do. It's not hard to do that, but it takes effort. What's really hard is ignoring it, hoping it will go away, and having it come and bite you in the butt. And living it again and again and again. That's a hard way to live. But again, that way of living takes no effort. You have to put effort into the healing process, however. And you know, sometimes, Julie, the energy starts to move at such a level where it simply becomes total overwhelm. And in the moments where it's total overwhelm, I don't have to fix it all. All I have to do is take the time to lay down, connect my breath, and just breathe into it. Connect to the active presence of love, do a love exchange with myself, and breathe into it. And that overwhelm passes. trick of the mind is to tell you that, oh, my God, I'm in overwhelm. This is going to last the rest of my life. It won't. It will pass. And if you take care of yourself and breathe, then it will pass gently and easily, and you'll be freed of another layer of it. So it's safe to look. It does take effort. And you can let it all go.
My God.
And as you collapse, one more thought. As you collapse, the pain and the overwhelm through forgiveness, what's left is you, the awesome presence of love, in your physiology where you will feel that love.
That's really nice. Okay.
Good
I was
breath.
Making it too big, I think.
Yeah. And that's the kind of breath that lets it go.
And I think I've been just losing the brain cells that I learned from doing this work because I haven't been doing it. So I've been afraid, you know, I've been afraid that I'm going to have to start with all these little things to get myself trained again. And the big thing is so big right now that I need it to get solved. And I'm not trusting at all the project.
Julie.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jean.
Susan G. is in the chat room now, and she said to tell you that she is always here for you to do worksheets. So you've got Susan's information of how to get a hold of her, right?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Okay. So she said she's here to do worksheets with you.
You're
not alone.
I know. I don't know how to ask for help, I guess. Well, I am now. So thank you, both of you, all of you. Thank you.
Awesome.
I think I'm okay now.
Yeah, and Julie, you never lose what you gain in doing your spiritual work. It's always yours. It's always there to be counted on. You can't lose it.
It's all there that
it's
you
yours.
Counted on?
It's all there. Every piece of work you've done, the energy of it's still there with you, and it's yours for eternity.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we're down to a minute or so. Is there anything else we can do to support you at this moment?
No, thank you for hearing me. And thank you for everything you said.
You got our support, Dr. Tim.
I'll be doing something. I don't know what.
Dr. Tim, I know you've done a lot of work in the past with Julie. Do you have any quick input for her?
Well, my input would be that all the work she's done in the past, let her actually call in today and stay on the phone.
Yay. Good thought.
I did try to hang up.
It'll work.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You disappeared, and it was like, no, where'd she go?
Well, just even the title of that book, Courage to Heal, I thought, I don't have the courage. I can't do this. And then I had the courage to press the button again. And I didn't know what I was going to say. Well, thank you.
Well, we're glad you pushed the button and that you're with us, and we appreciate you.
Okay. All right.
And our doc is going to cut us off any second now, so we'll just say have a blessed day. And we'll look forward to speaking to you tomorrow. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.